The talk is about information theoretic security and security under composition, and I'll explain exactly what we mean by it, and it's joint work with Eyal and with Yuda. Okay. So, oh, even Rafi came.
Okay. What do you mean, even?
Okay. So, just what is secure multi-party computation? I think many people here know, but I think most of the people here know. We have a set of parties and they have private inputs and they want to compute a function together and but while preserving some properties regarding their inputs. One is that the inputs would remain private, but also they want to ensure correctness, i.e. that they compute the function properly. And they want also that the inputs would be independent, that when the parties enter their inputs into the computation, they won't be able to be influenced by other people's inputs. Okay. And we want to ensure these properties even in the presence of a malicious adversary. And what that means is that the adversary gets control of some of the parties conducting the computation and can alter their actions from the least malicious, which is just honest but curious, that they just try to learn as much as they can, but they don't destroy the computation, to all the way to the worst type of adversary who can actively try to sabotage the computation. Okay, so here are some all kinds of tasks that we can do for you with secure computation. Okay. So how do we want to define the security of this in this setting? So if we had a trusted party to whom all the other the participating parties could give their input, and this party would compute the function value and distribute this value to each one of the players, then we know that the function was computed properly and that all the requirements were preserved because this it's a trusted party, it doesn't expose the inputs of the other parties. There's independence because P1 cannot change his input dependent on what P2 gave to the trusted adversary because it doesn't see what it gave and so on. So this is what this is an ideal which we would like to somehow achieve when we carry out the computation. So we have the ideal model, which is what I just described with the trusted party, and then we have the real model, which is actually the parties communicating and carrying out the computation. And we say that the computation in the real model is secure if it is, in some way, it is like the computation with the trusted party, that no more is being exposed via the computation. And because we know that in the trusted model we can't mount any attack, as I said, you can't cause the inputs to be dependent, no information is leaked and so on, then we immediately get the security for the real computation. Okay, so this is just pictorially to explain. This is the real model. We have party X, P1, and P2, and they have their inputs, and they communicate, and then they get the output of the protocol. And what does the same setting with the ideal model? This is just reiterating what I had said before, just so that it would sink, though most people probably know. We have the two parties, and then they, I don't know who this guy is. This is a common question. So, but he's a judge. He's supposed to be a judge. So they give him his input. He computes the function. This is a specific implementation where the output of each one of the parties may be different, but it could be the same. It doesn't have to have the index here. And then each party outputs the information. So here we have this is the real communication, and this is the setting with the trusted party, as we saw. And now what we'd want is that we'd have, if we have an adversary who's acting here inside the real protocol, we want that there would be an adversary in the ideal model such that the communications of these two executions would be indistinguishable. And then we have our security. So this is just a reiteration of everything that I'd said before. Okay. So this is proven via simulator. I'm going to skip this because I think I'm going a little bit too slow and I want to get to the stuff. And I'm assuming that most people here, it's fairly familiar with her. It's not, I just want to say though, that the proof. So we have, we're doing black box simulations, and we have issues of whether a simulator is rewinding or non-rewinding. And a simulator is called non-rewinding if it continuously proceeds forward in its simulation, and at no point does it have to rewind the parties backwards. So this is something that we're going to need in the, later on, that all our simulators are going to be non-rewind. Okay, and here is an issue that we also, I want to elaborate here. When we say that it looks the same or it's indistinguishable, we say it at various levels. So first of all, it could be perfect. This means that the distributions of the real and ideal executions are exactly the same. And this, of course, is the hardest to achieve, that that you get perfect security. But maybe you could prove your protocol with perfect security. And then you have statistical and computation, which of course means that the distributions are statistically close or computationally indistinguishable. Okay, so these are things we're going to need in our setting. And now we're going to look at two different models in which the solutions are given are made. One is the information theoretic model, where we assume that the adversaries are unbounded. And there, in that setting, you can have perfect or statistical security. Of course, you cannot have computational, because when we say that we're in the computational model, we're assuming that the adversaries are bounded, and we're basing our constructions on some computational assumption, one-way functions or something. So of course, you cannot achieve in the information theoretic model that, and then we have that. Okay. Okay, and then another important issue is, where do we prove the security of our protocol? We've designed the protocol, and now we want to say that it's secure. And there are two major distinctions. One is the standalone model. What does that mean? We designed the protocol, and we prove its security under the assumption that this is the only protocol which is being executed in our setting. And this is the way that most protocols were proven initially. If you look at Yahoo, at GMW, at BGW, all these protocols were only examined in the standalone setting. But then later on, it became clear that the standalone setting is insufficient, and it started already in the works of zero knowledge, that you really have to look at composition. What happens when many executions of the protocol are taking place? And this is really the more realistic setting in which we want to provide security, because which protocol is going to be executed? Only this protocol in the whole system. And here we distinguish between two types of composition. One is self-composition, which means that only this protocol is being executed many, many times. And some may say that this does not represent the world also, specifically the internet, but there are all kinds of very interesting results about self-composition, which I won't get into, and many of them done by Yuda, so you can go and read his masterpiece writings, and you'll get a lot of information about that. And then you have general composition. And general composition is really the more prevalent setting, where a protocol is being executed, protocol raw 1 is being executed with raw 2, raw 3, and so on. That there's a whole mesh of protocols being. Okay. So, so I want to say one thing here about these two differences. It's easier to prove protocols in the standalone setting, because you don't have to assume anything about what's going around. You just have to examine the specific protocol. And that's a huge advantage if you can prove something about the standalone model. And of course, the way that we do prove things for composition is we use composition theorems. And So what we say is we use things, some framework, and the most prominent now is the UC framework, and we, was that a hand or was that a... we use the UC framework, which tells us if you prove that your protocol satisfies this number of requirements, then you'll get automatically that it also composes. But you have to prove that it, the basic element, you have to prove it in the UC framework. And for that, you really have to examine the UC framework and all its requirements, and whether that's easy to do or not is a question of your knowledge of the UC framework. But also, it puts many requirements in place, and the question is, can we do something without that? So what did we know about the standalone model? So first of all, we have many theorems and fundamental works that say we have protocols and we can compute functions in the standalone model, and we have in the computational setting, we have Yao and GMW, and then in the information setting, we have the BGW results and others afterwards. And there are all kinds of requirements for the setting, two-thirds majority broadcast, no broadcast, but I'm not gonna get into these details. The bottom line is that we say that we can't compute any functionality in the standalone setting. Okay, this, ignore the bottom, it's not that interesting. Okay. And what do we know about concurrent composition? So we know that without an honest majority and with computational assumptions, we can do, and a common reference string, we can compute any function and it can compose concurrently. And this, I said that we know this, but I'm not sure that this proof really has been formally seen by anyone, but there are claims that these protocols also compose concurrently. And what's that, Ran? What? Okay, so even the author who I've cited says that whether there's a proof or not.
What about the claim that VGW protocol is secure in the standalone model?
Okay, that I took as an axiom. I agree that even there we may have an issue. But, okay, but definitely the composition on some level has not been completely formally proven, but let's say that it has, but okay. But a word of a gentleman, okay. So do we have a word of a gentleman? Okay, so this is the situation.
Security is a combiner.
What?
It's a combiner of the BGW and CCD protocol.
Okay. So basically, I think here we have words of many, many gentlemen saying that, and not so few gentlewomen saying that, yes, these protocols compose. And yes, these protocols compose, and we have, and we know that they can be run concurrently. So, aside from the real proof, which Sean claims to have written, sorry, that sounded terrible.
But,
I think the composition of these protocols was also assumed based on folklores which existed, which said the following. This was a type of a theorem that was going around. It wasn't even a conjecture, it was a theorem, that any information theoretic protocol which is secure, that any information theoretic protocol which was proven standalone secure, is secure under concurrent composition. And because of that, the BGW protocols and various other protocols, of course, they compose because this theorem, this folklore, is correct. And it was maybe people had thought about it a little bit more in detail about the folklore. So then they said yes, especially if the proof, the standalone, was proven using a black box non-rewinding simulator. Then it definitely is secure under concurrent. So maybe even if the first folklore maybe is not correct, then if you also add the black box non-rewinding, for sure you have a theorem. And all the protocols which we know, BGW, CCD, and so on, with their somewhat non-existing proofs, all use black box non-rewinding simulator. So it seemed that we were set, and we had a word of a gentleman. Okay. So what do we do in this work? We examined the conjectured connection between the information theoretic security and the security under composition. Really to say whether it is sufficient that the protocol or information theoretically secure with non-rewinding simulator, whether it immediately gives you this composition. Okay. Alon? Yes, what's your question?
The folklore.
What about the folklore?
Didn't Rand prove it in his paper? Something like that? Didn't he have to claim something like
well,
that?
Well, the UC framework requires that you have a non-black rewinding simulator, but it...
So then we must have proved it.
But in the UC framework, not in this vanilla thing, just saying, okay, I give you, you have to satisfy all the other requirements of the UC, then you get it. But this is not, this is the way the BGW was proven initially, without a UC, without an environment, without who gives the inputs and so on. And in fact, as you will see, because the folklore is incorrect.
Can you show the folklore again?
Sure.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Okay. I just want to say, because the folklore is incorrect and Lan's work is correct, so clearly Lan did not prove the folklore. And the point is that in the UC, you have the environment, and the environment is giving the inputs, and all these things. So
what is the thing that is not in the folklore and is in
the folklore said, if you have a protocol which you proved information theoretically secure, with a non, let's do the improved folklore, with a non-rewinding black box simulator, then this protocol composes.
Okay, Lan has proved that the BGW protocol is UC.
But because he proves it standalone UC. He doesn't prove it the way that I said. He has the environment, and the environment is giving the inputs. Okay, it's also non-rewinding black box. But there are additional points in the UC framework which need to be satisfied in order for BGW to be UC secure, okay?
You will point them out?
I can tell you now what they are, but
okay.
Let's first get to the counterexample to the folklore, and then you'll see exactly why, in fact, the things in the UC are needed. When I saw the UC at the beginning or throughout, or you always say, why do you need this? Why do you need this? But it turns out that many of the things that are required by the UC are required because otherwise, you wouldn't be able to prove the security.
Both
folklores are wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. What?
You have two folklores.
Right, but the other one said the other one's a refinement and says definitely if you would prove it with a straight line. But since I'm going to prove to you that one's incorrect, the other one of course is incorrect. I'm going to show you a protocol that has. I'm taking the cat out of the bag before the thing. But I'm going to show you a protocol, okay? Okay, so after we see the counterexample, then we'll see exactly why the things in the UC are needed, and you'll see that it just wouldn't work. BGW does compose, because BGW has some other properties, but we'll get to everything, okay? Okay, so theorem one. What's our first theorem? Theorem one is a counterexample to the protocol. And what we'll show is that there is a protocol that's statistically secure in the information theoretical model and can be proved so standalone. It has a black box straight line, non-rewinding simulator, but it is not secure under composition. So this is going to be our first theorem. The folklore is incorrect.
And the BGW is perfectly secure, right?
Exactly. So that's going to help you. But, for example, RB is not perfectly secure. So you can't immediately, so that doesn't give you the composition for that one.
Too bad for you.
Such a fun. Okay. So we have that, but by the way, PGW has two versions. So only the error-free version, the one, okay. Okay.
But the other version doesn't compose or just not by your theorem, but it might still compose?
I think that they all compose. It, you can't get it automatically from this theorem. We all thought that you got everything automatically from the folklore, but you don't get it. Okay. Guys? Okay.
So wait, the statistical version of PGW is CCB?
The statistical version of PGW?
Is the book paper by CCB?
No, they're different. but there's BGW has a version with a bivariate polynomial, and that's perfectly secure. And they have a version with a cut and choose method. So the cut and choose has a probability of error. Okay. So then we have our second theorem. So what did the first one say? The first one said we have a protocol that's statistically secure, a straight line black box. So the question is, If we change things, whether we will be able to get composition theorems, and we do, which is exactly the point of the perfect. So if the protocol has perfect security and is proved using a black box straight line simulator, then it is also perfectly secure under composition. So if you can prove your protocol perfect security, then that's an advantage. And I think that this is one of the first examples where we see that perfect security is not just an aesthetic issue. It's more than that. Then you can really get an advantage by proving your protocol perfectly secure. If anybody has other examples, I'd be glad to hear them after the talk of where perfect security is really...
That universe is not adaptive, for instance. Also, there is a statistical case, so non adaptive security doesn't imply adaptive.
Okay, so here's another example. That's your paper with Ran, and yeah, okay. So here's also another example. And I think these are interesting facts to see that there's value to these things. Okay, so that's our second theorem that we're going to show. And I just want to say on this point that Dodis and Mikali have a similar result, but they have an additional condition on the requirements on the standalone protocol, something about the inputs. So this is a little cleaner, but in essence, we had something similar. Because, for example, what can we get from this theorem? We can get that BGW composes concurrently, but which is maybe the most important corollary of this theorem. But BGW also satisfies the requirements of Dodis Mikali. So in fact, the corollary we already achieved from this result. So we have here this theorem, which was a slightly weaker version of it, we've already known. Okay, so what are the corollaries? As I said, that BGW, the error-free version, is perfectly secure under concurrent general composition, because we can prove it secure standalone. And of course, it gives us some sort of a tool that it suffices to prove perfect security in the standalone model. Yes.
What about perfect security with a yes rewinding?
No. So we initially, unfortunately, thought that that applied too. And we had a proof in the original paper, which appears in Stock. And we had made some assumption in the, so the proof is correct, but the theorem is incorrect. we had made an assumption in that paper about the simulator and about the rewinding, and we proved it. And because of that, we said that every rewinding simulator can be expanded with exponential blow up into a non-rewinding simulator. But that turned out to be incorrect, because the assumption which we had made was wrong. So
do you have a counterexample?
Yes, and it's going to appear in TCC 2007. It's not our account. It's a paper by, I know one person on it, it's Bacchus, but I forgot Michael Bacchus, but I forgot the names of the rest of the people. They have a counter example. It's a very nice counter example, in fact. And in fact, doesn't use the assumption. I mean, it exactly goes against the assumption because, as I said, the proof is correct, but the assumption was false. Only for non-rewinding black box simulators. So as we said, this is the advantage of the perfect security. Now we show another theorem, which says that if you have a black box straight line simulator and it is if you can prove this, then it's secure under self-composition with fixed inputs. So this means here in this case, if you forgo the perfect and you have a statistical or computational proof of security, then you can get self-composition. Of course, we said self-composition is a little weaker. Of course, you want the concurrent composition, but this is the best that we could get, that you have the self-composition with fixed input.
What do you mean by fixed input?
That the inputs are fixed prior to the execution of the protocols, which, of course, is another restriction.
For all the executions.
Excuse me?
For all the executions.
Yes. Okay. Of course, as I said, it's both for statistical and computation.
Does the theorem apply for the perfectly secure protocol for computationally bounded adversaries? Or do we need unbounded adversaries?
Unbounded adversaries. If you have a protocol in statistical for an unbounded adversary, then you get the composition.
So it doesn't apply in other cases.
It doesn't apply?
For statistical security bounded adversaries.
It does. Because it applies for unbounded.
No, but the simulator.
It applies.
You don't use somewhere in the construction an adversary.
Okay. There is something here that if the simulator is efficient, then you would get an efficient. The composition would also. You'd have an efficient simulator. Okay. So what do we get from this? A little bit to redeem my name here. This is Alon for you. So at least we get the self-composition, not the general composition, but self-composition. And maybe it justifies the folklore. I'm not sure. I think the folklore was wrong, and that's what we have to remember. But we can get self-composition. Okay. But of course, self-composition with fixed inputs. Okay, so there's a little bit of a disturbing point here because why should we settle for these statistical or computational protocols to say only self-composition and not general composition? We really want the general composition. So the question is, can we add another property to the protocol which would enable us to have full composition and not general composition and not just self-composition? So the answer is yes, and there's a very simple property, which is the following. It's initial synchronization. Before I start any execution of a protocol, I say, I'm ready to start executing this protocol. And then I wait until I hear that all the other parties are ready to start executing this protocol together with me. And then, once I hear from everybody, I start executing the protocol. So you can say, but there's a problem here, okay? Because the adversary is controlling the lines. So he, in essence, can mount a denial of service attack on the protocol. So here, I want to diverge a little bit into a discussion of what it means to have protocols composed concurrently or in this setting. So when we say that we design a protocol and we prove it standalone, secure, basically we're assuming some synchronization. We always prove these protocols in a completely synchronous manner. All the steps are taken and are executed together, and then we say that the protocol is secure. But in fact, when we move to the concurrent setting, whether self or general, it doesn't matter, now that we give the adversary, in fact, control on the delivery of the messages. So what does it mean that this protocol is still secure in this setting? It's not even clear. So we have to make some assumptions about the adversary. So one assumption is to say he's semi-synchronous, which means he can decide to delay messages, but not on an individual level. He can't decide to delay the fifth message of P1 and let it arrive with the sixth message of P2. Basically, he can just decide to delay a message of a round of all parties. So the fifth message has to arrive together with for all parties. So this is somehow synchronizing him. But then he can decide to delay the seventh message or the third message. But the fifth message, they all arrive at the same time. And there's some ordering in this. So again here, he already has the capability of mounting a denial of service attack. And if we go for a protocol which was designed in the asynchronous setting, which and we proved it's occurring in that setting, those protocols can very nicely move into the concurrent composition setting because the messages are already asynchronous. But you have to know that setting has a different problem because in the asynchronous setting, you can't wait for all the inputs of all the parties. So in fact, the adversary can decide that some inputs of specific parties would not even be entered into the computation. So there's a trade-off here, and you have to think which one is appropriate for your specific issue. So for example, if we're doing elections, though we may want to exclude some specific people's votes, I think it would be the more appropriate thing to choose a function evaluation which would include all people's votes, including Republicans. So you really have to look at the specific protocol which we want to execute. And because of this initial synchronization, even though it enables a denial of service attack, it's not as bad as it seems a priori. Okay, so then we can prove that every protocol, when you introduce the initial synchronization, and you can prove it black box with straight line simulator, then you can get the composition immediately. So that's a nice addition.
So if you have a protocol that you prove secure like this without initial synchronization, you can always add initial synchronization.
Exactly.
It would still be
yes,
secure.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, not it will still be secure. You'll get the composition automatically. Of course, you don't have to do initial synchronization when it's a single protocol. They all start together. When you incorporate it into the larger picture of all the protocols being executed together, what you have to do is add this step at the beginning. Just say, announce to everybody that you're ready to run raw, wait to hear that everybody else is ready to run raw, and then go for it together. So this is exactly what you need to add, and you get the composition for free.
Do you have any number of parameters?
Yes, because this holds for the computational setting also. So if you take the GMW construction for any number of faulty parties, then you can get it. But of course, those protocols don't have guaranteed terminate. All the diseases of the standalone are transferred to the concurrent. But whatever you can do in the standalone setting, you get automatically. Okay, so that's theorem four. And as I said, you can add the initial. And in fact, this is a nice tool because it enables you to compose protocols in a very simple manner. Okay, so now we'll go in just into a quick summary, and then I'll try to do, I still have 20 minutes, I'll do a bit of the proofs that I wanted to get into. So basically, we said we have the counterexample, which shows a statistical protocol which is proven standalone secure but does not compose. And then we have we can get general composition if we have perfect security or if we add the initial synchronization. So this gives us two simple ways to immediately get general composition. And self-composition you can have with fixed inputs and, of course, the statistical. Okay. So I'll try to do some of the, to get down to the details of the talk. So each one of these things is a separate thing. So if you zoned out, you can zone back in now and at least get the counter example. I think that this is nice. And I'll tell you again when you can zone in if you lost me here too. Okay. So in fact, what happens is that the counterexample is going to utilize the fact that in the standalone setting, in some sense, all the inputs are fixed, right? You're going to start, it's a one protocol shot, the inputs are fixed at the beginning, and you start executing it. But what happens in the concurrent composition setting is that inputs to some protocol can be outputs of another protocol, which means that they're not fixed at the start of the protocol, and we're going to utilize this fact in a very strong way. Okay. And of course, it has to remain secure with any arbitrary protocol when you want to say that it composes concurrent. Okay. So what's going to be our function that we're going to compute? It's the simplest function. It has three parties. And each one has an input. But in fact, their inputs don't do anything. They just output the constant function. Each party outputs x. Zero. Okay, this is the function. Now I'll describe a protocol which computes this functionality. Okay, what's the protocol? We have P1, P2, and P3. Okay, and the protocol starts as follows. P1 and P2 each choose a random value, R1 and R2, each of length n over 2. And they exchange these random values between them. Now locally, each one defines some random value R as the concatenation of the two values, and they send it to P3. Okay? So now P3 checks. If he got the same value from P1 and P2, and it equals his input X3, he outputs 1. Otherwise, he outputs 0. Okay? And P2 and P3 output 0. Okay, so let's see that this really satisfies the functionality. P2 and P3, check, right? They both output 0. Now, let's look to see that P3 almost always outputs 0. Because there is at most one faulty party, either P1 or P2 are honest, okay? So this value has at least n over 2 random bits, which were chosen at random uniformly in the range. So the chance that this R equals P3's input, which is secret, is 2 over n over 2. So this happens with very small probability. So with very high probability, P3 also outputs 0. Okay? Does anybody have any problems with this protocol implementing the functionality? Okay. Okay. There's a problem with the slide implementing the functionality, but okay. So P1 and P2 output 0. Okay. Okay. So. So this is the thing, this is exactly what I said, that with probability n minus n over 2, P3 outputs 1 with negligible probability. And the simulation is easy and it's black box, you can trust me. But the important thing to see is that security is obtained statistically, because there is a chance, in fact, that P3 would output 1. Okay. So now I want to show you that this protocol doesn't compose. Okay, so we have the following protocol pi, and it contains a call to the functionality f. Okay, f is the 0, 0, 0 functionality. So what do we do? P1 sends a random S to P3. This is the protocol pi, okay? So P1 sends a random S to P3. P1 and P2 send their input to the trusted party for computing F, and they output whatever they receive back. P3 sends the string S to the trusted party as its input, and outputs what it receives back. And this is the protocol, okay? So let's see what happens when the functionality is used, when the trusted party is used. P1 sends some random value S to P3. That's good, nothing happens. P1 and P2 send the value to the trusted party and get a zero, so they output a zero. And P3 sends the string S to the trusted party for the computation of F, that's his input. You remember that the functionality had an input, and he outputs what he gets back. He also gets a zero because it's a constant function. So they all output zero. Okay. Now, let's look, Eyal.
So
now.
Maybe I didn't understand
okay.
The protocol because P1 and P2, they exchange.
There was a typo.
Values.
There was a typo there. You've been listening instead of talking.
here,
P1 and P2 both output zero. That's the protocol. It's not P2 and P3. Okay, are you happier?
No. How do you know what was no, so if P1 copies, if P1 gets, like in the standalone model,
yes.
P1 gets R2 and copies.
Okay, so it'll be R2, R2. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Still, there are n half bits there which are completely random. The chance that you hit X3 is negligible.
Okay.
Okay? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We did this, right? Yes. So all the honest parties output zero. Now let's look at the execution of the protocol when instead of calling the functionality F, we call the protocol raw. Okay? And there's a corrupted party without laws of generality, it's P1. Okay. So P1 waits. It starts executing raw, and it waits until it receives R2 from P2. And he sets R to be R1, R2, and he defines S. You remember that it sends the value S. The protocol starts by P1 sending a random S to P3. So it sets S to be exactly this R, which it received in the execution of raw, okay? And sends S to P3. P3 uses S, right? Remember here in the previous page, P3 uses the string S, which it gets from P1, for the computation of the function. So he uses it as input to raw, and now it follows that R is its input. It's exactly equal. So P3 always outputs 1, okay? Let me show you here. Okay. P1 and P2 started executing raw, and because that, they exchanged R1 and R2. Okay, but P3 is still waiting to start executing raw. But P1 now knows this value R1 concatenated R2. He says that this is S. He sends it to P3, and now P3's input to raw is R1 concatenated R2. And then in the first step, he gets, and let's call it here R equals R1 concatenated R2. He gets R.
Hello?
Yes.
So it's a switch right next to it.
He gets R from P1 and P2. And now it satisfies the requirement that they're equal and they're equal to his input. This is excellent. So now he outputs the value 1. Okay? Any questions here?
Okay. So what would happen if you had the initial synchronization? Then they wouldn't start running raw
exactly.
And P3 has an input?
And because P3, what's his first step? He has to wait. The protocol says P1 sends S to P3. So P3 is waiting. He can't start raw. He still can't start raw until he gets the value S. So he's going to wait.
So then they cannot start
they
getting
didn't
the R1 and R2.
Exactly.
Because one of them is on it.
Exactly. Exactly. So P1, in fact, has to send a value independently of the execution of raw in there. Okay. So that's how the initial synchronization helps you. And in fact, when you see the following theorems, they're all, once you see the counterexample, all the following theorems are immediately make sense. The fixed input makes sense because, of course, you have to have the inputs fixed because you're utilizing this problem. You need the initial synchronization because what did you do here? You started executing something before you had to input the value into the thing. Okay. So, okay. So we see that the count that this is a counterexample. This we did on the board that we have that it's insecure. Okay. So I have a few more minutes. Okay. Okay. So what was theorem two? Theorem two, I'm going to discuss this a little because the proof has something nice about it. Oh, wait, Alon, I want to get back to you with the UC issue. Okay? What did you see here? Exactly, how is this prevented in the UC? This protocol raw, in fact, cannot be proven UC secure. Because if it would, we'd have a contradiction here to the whole thing. And the reason that the protocol raw cannot be, because you have exactly the issue. The environment, in some sense, ensures in a different way what the initial synchronization or the fixed inputs do. And it really requires that the inputs are set, the environment has to get the give the inputs and so on in such a way that it prevents these things. And raw cannot be proven secure in the UC framework. Okay. So getting back to this proof, yes.
Change the functionality to, you know, output one with very small probability. Like, let's say adversary is allowed to pick a probability between zero and
then how would you influence it in the composition? What would happen in the composition that suddenly he would always output one?
No, but with very small, you can do the top probability 2 to the minus and then 2. So very small probability.
But in this example,
you it still wouldn't be the same, right? Okay, so you're saying that the functionality is that it outputs with some
very, very small probability. Would it be perfectly secure?
I had a discussion with Yuda on this issue. So first of all, we were trying to look at this thing really of whether if you have functionalities which have a probability of that they're not perfect, can you have a perfect simulation? Then can you have a protocol which perfectly simulates them? Exactly like what you're trying to say. That this perfectly simulates it. Now I forgot what we referred about.
But I guess your theorem about
no, it's not, the distributions are not exactly
the
same.
This input is known. So the addressing make sure that never equal. When P2P3, the P2 input is not supposed to be secret or just that P1 is adversary, and we can always make sure that.
No, he doesn't know P3.
Why not? It's not the issue.
Okay. So what he's saying is that in that case, it would be that he's never equal. That one has a probability of the functionality with the trusted adversary has some probability of putting one, but you can force the protocol never to output one.
Yes, that's what an adversary can pick, you know, probably between 0 and 2 to the minus n over 2. So he can make it out of 1 with very small probability.
Right.
Tops.
Right, but it could be a different probability than what the whatever the functionality chooses, then the adversary can choose a different distribution of.
I guess it's bundled with the theorem about perfect security being yes proposed, or maybe it's not true when functionality is randomized and receives input from the adversary about
randomization. So your problem is true only for functions, not for functionality.
For
deterministic.
It seems from his example that it wouldn't be true. His example is with an infinite adversary that chooses the randomization.
But the protocol is not perfect. It's not a perfect simulation. We have to look at it to see really if the implementation is perfect or not for that randomized functionality. This is where my memory is an issue, because you and I discussed it, and now I don't remember what we had. It took some time to figure it out, but we had an answer. Anyway. Okay, so what's the main thing here in this proof of theorem 2, which is, I think, is the nice point. And
what is theorem 2?
Theorem 2 is the one that if you have perfect security, then it composes. So basically, the situation is as follows. You say that you have a protocol that's secure standalone with perfect security, but then it's not secure under composition. We want to prove it by contradiction. So what do we have? We have an adversary who can foil the execution of this protocol when the protocol is run in a concurrent setting. So we're going to build another adversary who's going to run this concurrent adversary in its belly, and it's going to be able to foil a single execution of raw in a standalone setting. And what happens is that it's going to do all the communications of the protocol PI, which is the protocol which it manages to foil, in its belly. And whenever it's going to execute raw, the single instance where we want to break the standalone security, it's going to be executing it with the parties and transferring the message to this adversary A, who breaks the concurrent setting. So it's going to be simulating most of the communication for A in its belly, but the execution with raw is going to be doing in the real world. And because A can foil the concurrent execution, it's going to have to be able to foil this this execution of raw. Okay. But, okay. So if we manage to do it, we'll break the thing. But there's a complication, because when it's executing the protocol raw, it needs to guess the inputs and the random coins of the honest parties. But he has very low success probability of guessing this vector correctly, right? But here the perfect thing comes into place. Because maybe he can do it only with exponentially small probability, but he can do it. But because we require that the security be perfect, then that doesn't work. So clearly we got what we want. Okay. Now I want to talk a little bit about theorem 4, which is the one that you add the initial synchronization. So first of all, again, as I said before, when you look at the counterexample, you see what you need to add in order to help yourself circumvent it. And the initial synchronization, enables you to do this. And again, you prove this thing by giving all the inputs of the other protocols as auxiliary input into this adversary, which you're going to build to break the protocol. Okay. And what's the importance of theorem 4? That it helps us understand a little bit more. Maybe you can say that the counterexample already does it. But this gives us already an additional tool to really get around the problems which are introduced by the counterexample. And you see that when you break the tie with inputs of some execution depending on randomness and information from other executions, then you can get over this problem. Yes?
But with fixed input, you only, if it's just fixed inputs, you only get self-competition?
Yes.
Wouldn't fixed input imply initial self-synchronization? Isn't it stronger
somehow?
Apparently not,
right, and in fact, I think that you cannot prove the general thing from it. Well, clearly, because you have the counterexample. So,
because fixed input is kind of exactly prevents this kind of stuff,
right? The random is also fixed.
Hmm?
What you said? The fixed input?
Yes, yes, and the randomness. That's a good question.
It's a weakness here, but I don't understand why.
Right, I
fixed input, you would have general composition. I would expect fixed input would apply
the
self-synchronization.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Maybe
it could be. What?
Just to prove it.
Okay, so by the beginning of next talk. Okay. So basically, we got here a great advantage that we can prove things in the standalone model just with initial synchronization. So just to conclude, we have that standalone does not imply security under current general composition, even in this information theoretic model. But you do get the security when you have... For perfect, of course, you get the full, and for statistical, with fixed inputs and perfect security gives you the concurrent, and of course, the initial synchronization also gives you the concurrent composition.